Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for laughter, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you smile upon your church, Lord. And we ask that this day, Lord, that as Pastor Henry brings the message today, Lord, that we would just be so receptive to what you've given him, Lord. Open the eyes of our heart, open the ears of our heart to hear what you have for us this day, Lord. Every time one of us gets up here, Lord, behind this pulpit, we pray, Lord, and we know, Lord, that it is your word that is being preached from the pulpit, Lord. So thank you this day, Lord. We praise you. We worship you. And Lord, we just ask that you would receive our worship and praise in Jesus' name.
Do you ever feel like the world is just really messy, really chaos and messy? I mean, sometimes people are so angry and so bitter and fearful. And it's not home. I mean, we're not going to fix it. Sometimes we can feel so afraid and so out of control. And Joshua says it best. Choose this day whom you will serve. Paraphrasing, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You have to choose. You have to choose. You have to set your eyes on forever. This is just 100 years. This is just the dash. This is just the dash. What are we going to do after this? You know, where are you going to be? Rebecca said it best one time. She said she felt like she was standing like on two islands. You know, and you have to kind of choose and pick, you know. And if you're not listening to God, who are you listening to? So, you know, I mean, we're not going to fix the world. You know, the Prince of Lies is dealing with this one, you know. But choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Good morning. When I got here this morning, and as Pastor John said, people gather beforehand and we pray. And one of the things that Pastor Henry said is that we're all ministers. Sometimes when we're even not expecting to be a minister, we're a minister, if we choose who we're listening to and to obey. So this past couple mornings ago, I had to go to get a blood test done for a doctor's appointment I have coming up this week. And so I thought, okay, it has to be fasting. So I got up and made my husband his breakfast, and I said, you eat. I'm going to go over and get this blood test done, and I'll be back in a few minutes, and then I'll have my breakfast. So I got there at 8 o'clock, usually first one, get in the door, open up, and every seat was filled. I said, I guess I'm not going to eat right away. So everybody has their phones, and they're doing their little thing, and I thought, I'll just take this time to pray, for you got me here for a reason, Lord. And so I'm waiting patiently, and they're calling people in. And then this, on top of it, two more people came in, and they had been there before. I didn't realize that, but they had gone home to do something, and they came back and said, okay, my husband and I are both going to have blood tests, and could you please give his test and send it to his other doctor? And then she said, well, do you have his information and his phone and fax number and all that? And she said, oh, no. Do I have to go back and get that? And she said, well, could you get the fax number? She says, I don't have my phone. I can't you know, you Google and somebody, okay, I can do this for you. So she gets the number and gets the doctor's name and all that. And I just don't know what, well, I do know what the Holy Spirit must have said to me, look up that doctor's name. And so I got my phone out and I'm looking and I'm thinking, I've never heard of him before. And as I looked down further, I saw he was a cancer doctor. So by this time, we're the only three left in the waiting room. God says, pray for him. Oh, okay. Pray for him. So, got up, stood. By this time, we're like from here, and I go over at the woman. Said, there's no coincidence in this life. She said, oh, what do you mean? I said, well, God told me to come over and pray for your husband. And so I went over and I sat down next to him and asked him his name. And I said, John, you're not to accept this lie from the enemy, that cancer that they're trying to put on you, it's healed. And his face went into such a grin. He says, we've been praying. I says, well, God sent me to tell you, you're healed. And so she's smiling and we're all smiling and hugging. And so then later on, I said, as we had gotten get into my chest and then they were sitting there, and I said, what church do you go to? And she told me. And I said, well, now, you know this test that you were through, it's for a testimony. And so whenever you get the good word, you come over to the Sarita House of Worship. And I want to hear this. And our family is going to be saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So, amen. Amen. Okay. Yes, so that, you know, when you have that uneasy feeling, it's just like you said one time, I could have chosen not to do it and he would have got somebody else. But I was privileged to be able to be the bearer of good news. Amen.
Oh, this is so beautiful, the testimonies. So I have a beautiful testimony to share with you. So as we're walking along this trail with my dad, you know, my daughter comes over, my oldest daughter in the morning, and she's like looking for her grandpa, and she's been looking for her grandpa, and you see the hurt in her, and so she was concerned that, you know, what if grandpa doesn't remember her by the next time she sees her, because it's been quite a bit of time. And so I was sharing with her, I was like, Angelica, but God heals. And then, you know, she said, God, Mom, God doesn't. And when she said, I don't even want to say the rest of the sentence, but she's like, Mom, God doesn't heal that. And when she said it, it was like, it was almost like you could tangibly feel the words, and they were like solid bricks just coming out of her mouth. And then I said, Lord, you know, I fill my mind with testimonies of people that have been healed from dementia. And so I began to share them with her. And she's like, what? She never heard such a thing. You know, like, what are you talking about? And, you know, they're testimonies of people she doesn't know. Well, it had been on my heart for a while to call my tia Norma. And she knew my parents growing up for many years. And I called it. I hadn't talked to her for a while. And so it'd been on my heart to call her, so I called her the next day, and you know, I didn't want to go through the story of calling her because I hadn't talked to her for a while. And so she, you know, she of course pops the question, how's your dad? And so I said, you know, tell her the story of what's going on. And and so she shared with me that when her mom was here, her mom had dementia.
and her mom was healed of dementia. That the Lord healed her from dementia. So, not only was I able to, then I reached out, I was like, what? She's like, yeah, God healed my mom from dementia. And so not only was I able to hear that testimony, but the very next day I was able to call my sister, my daughter, and tell my daughter, who's somebody that she tangibly knows, has a testimony and documentation that her mother had dementia and she no longer has dementia. And then whenever her mom was walking through being in a nursing home, she said, every day they would give my mom oatmeal. My mom was tired of oatmeal, she said, and so my mom asked me, to bring some cream of wheat. And so we brought some cream of wheat, and the staff said, we don't give cream of wheat around these places, we give oatmeal. And so your mom's gonna get oatmeal, and here's some oatmeal. And her mom was like, I'm sick of oatmeal, I don't want any more oatmeal. So they were sitting in the room, and the lady brings in the tray, and when they lifted off the cover of the food in the bowl, was oatmeal. I mean, was cream of wheat. I'm sorry. Yeah. No, by the way, in the bowl was cream of wheat. That the Lord turned the oatmeal into the cream of wheat. And she said, the Lord told her, you're women of faith. And I love you. And so I had to come share this testimony of the Lord, that he's showing us along the way that we're walking this trail of my dad, that, like you said, the dementia trying to come on my dad. We won't have it. I stand on God's word, and he's showing me along the way. He's giving us tangible testimonies and proof. He'll hold along the way. He's holding our hand. And so I'm coming here to testify to his absolute goodness. Thank you.
I apologize if this comes out very quickly, because while everybody was talking, it was like a... The only way I can explain, like, when God gives me something for people is almost like this download feeling. Like, it's just pouring, right? And it's almost like my brain doesn't even have time to go through it, right? So I'm trying to remember as much as I could through all of that, right? But I know that even though it's like it was quick, I know God's gonna give me what he was saying. So, Kathy talked about, it was a vision that I had. It was two islands, right? Where your feet are on both sides, water in the middle, but they're moving apart from each other. And there's only a certain amount of time before you have to pick a side, right? That's what she was talking about. And it was crazy because as you were talking, God was, downloading some stuff. So, listen. I really believe this is for a lot of people, because when I feel like it's for one person, I can kind of feel an area in the church. This feels like a lot. Like, but surrender is complete surrender. Like, when we say I surrender all, it's like all, right? That's what the word is, right? It's a surrender. Like, here it is. Let it go, right? See, I can really feel it. Okay. When you're not seeing something that you want to happen in your life happen, sometimes it's because the lack of surrender in your life. See, God is always moving. He's always got something for us, and he's always giving us things. But see, sometimes it's the inability to let go of what we think should happen and is important in our life that keeps us from moving into what he has. I can feel this. Listen, you guys are all sitting. I'm about to get real excited because I can feel, I got chills on my arms and I can feel it just really coming. But listen, see, we let our thought process, this is the way I think things should go, This is the way I think church should go. This is the way I think my job should go. This is the way I think I should have to pay these bills. This is the way that my job should be running. This is the way that whatever it is. See, but God wants you to know today, it doesn't matter what you think. It matters what He's doing. Woo! See, we get in the way sometimes thinking we know what's best. But see, God always knows better than what we know. He's always moving. He's always doing something. He's setting us up, and He's not setting us up for failure. He's setting us up for success, because the Bible tells us that we are more than conquerors. See, which means that we're not defeated. It doesn't mean that we aren't victorious. It actually means exactly that, that we are victorious in Him. See, when you see things happening in your life that think aren't happening to the way you want them to happen, the way you need them to happen, it might be because you are doing those things on your own. You're not allowing God to do what He's gonna do. I don't know what's going on, but all I know is that God says, do not make a decision about your job until you've talked to me, because I know what I'm doing, and I know better than you know, because I can see what's coming, and you're only looking at what is. See, God's really been working even on me with full surrender. I have been seeing these things in the Bible that I can tell you, I have read these stories about 5 billion times, because I've been going to church since I was a kid. But there are some things in the Old Testament that God is just, He is like making them jump out at me like full force, right? And it's things that I'm like, God, I never saw those things before, right? But it goes all the way back to the Old Testament, all the way to the New Testament, right? There's so many situations, and I know I've talked to you guys about this, there are so many situations where God is dealing with people and He's literally asking them to leave it all. Like, pick up your life and go, right? And that's the thing, is I look at things from back in the Old Testament, I'm like, man, that was a big deal for them. That move meant moving herds, meant moving your whole family, right? All kinds of, like, it's a lot of moving, right? It wasn't just like, I'm picking myself up and I'm going. It's like they were moving like their whole group, right? And see, cut to the New Testament, where He literally asked His disciples, follow me. Just drop it all. Everything you think you need and follow me, right? See, it's the same things that happen in our life. See, the Bible is not outdated by any means. See, God knows exactly what He's doing. He will use that word to give you exactly what you need in what moments, because it is very, very alive. Very alive. Because He's alive. Because He's moving through it. He's ministering through it. He's giving you things through it. I can tell you that when I looked at that, I have read stuff about the disciples. I mean, let's be honest. When you read the Bible, how many times do you read it? Right? But it stood out in a different way, because God's really, I know, which goes back to the islands, right? God is really doing a pulling. He is. Because we're coming to a time, church, that we can't be with feet on two different spots. We can't be lukewarm. And what does the Bible tell us about being lukewarm? That He's gonna spew us out, right? See, because you either know God and are going after Him, or you don't. There's not an in-between. And I'm gonna tell you, something that He's even been showing me is You can see what it is in somebody's life. You really can. I have talked to people who tell me how much they love God, but in the next sentence also talk about how they are so devastated because there's nothing that they can do. And it's like, wait, those two don't go together. See, because it's not you, it's God who's doing it. So if you really are trusting God, then you gotta stop looking at it as a failure in your life already, because you gotta understand that God's working it for good. See, it's all about the mindset. Whew, I don't know how you guys are sitting. I'm so excited. But listen, okay, it's all about the mindset, right? The mindset of the kingdom or the mindset of this earth, right? See, the church is going to continue to look like the world until they decide to get on fire for the things of God. Until they decide that the kingdom and the way the kingdom operates is what we need to be looking at, not what we're seeing around us, not the physical, not the things that are happening right in front of our eyes, but the things that are happening when we are one-on-one with God, going after him, praising him, enjoying the time, communing with him, spending time getting to know the one who created us, the one who placed the gifts within us, the one who knows us better than anybody else. See, God knows what he has for you. Stop trying to let your thoughts, your feelings, and everything else determine what you're going to do instead of letting God do it. See, it's time, church. It is time for us to either decide, do I want to get on fire? Do I want to know him more? Do I want to be effective because of him? Or do I just want to continue on a regular routine? See, our life will absolutely 100% reflect what we're doing. See, we're created in the image of God. And when we start letting God dictate the things in our life, when we truly surrender it all, give it all to God, the things we do reflect the Father. They really do. They reflect who he is. And now, see, it's never about boy, God loves us. I just feel this overwhelming sense of love. But see, God loves us. He never intended it to be about how much we could point the finger at somebody for not doing what we think is right. See, when we reflect who he is, we got an overwhelming love for those around us, because that's what he's got. See, and when you start showing people who he is, because he's flowing out of you like a river, that's when we become effective as a church. Because it's no longer us who's getting in the way, but him who's just flowing out. Hallelujah. See, he wants us to touch those around us. He wants us to be effective. He wants us. Ooh, he's got such a plan for us. He really does. And he wants us to step into those things. He's waiting. Ooh, he's waiting for you to step into the things he has. And I can feel it. It doesn't matter. If you think, you know, I'm just trying to sit back at this point, I've lived my life, guess what? That's not the way God feels. I'm not done yet. right? He knows what he's doing in your life. He knows why you're sitting here. He knows exactly what he is doing and what he's setting you up for. And it's great things. But I encourage you, when you say, I surrender it all, mean I surrender it all. Completely abandoned. That's what I love about this song. It's literally one line that gets me every time. Tamir, not my will, but yours. See, because that's exactly what we're meant to do. We're meant to mirror who he is. And that happens by us spending time with him. See, we complicate it with all of the extra. But what we gotta realize is that as we spend time with him, we hear him better, right? Even that still small voice, we understand it. We hear it because we get used to hearing who from him the more we do it, right? See, you hear him better. You understand him better because all of those things, the Bible tells us that there's mysteries to the kingdom, right? That he's just waiting to unlock in us. And see, as we go after him, he feeds us things that continues to unlock. Okay, here's another secret to the kingdom. Here's another one. And as you go after him, it's just a continuous process. He'll continue to show you something new, give you something new, place something new, show you what he's got for you, continue to build you up, continue to encourage you, continue to show you who you are in him. So I want to go back into this song really quick because I know we got to move on. But I just want to encourage you this morning. Whatever you got going on, lay it down. Choose to listen to God first in things. Allow him to do what he's going to do. Don't let what you think, what you want, what you feel get in the way of you just waiting on him. Sometimes, to be honest with you, that waiting, that worshiping can be such an amazing thing in your life. It can, it really can. It can actually get you to a point where you understand, like, you know, I just gotta stop. I just gotta stop here. And God, I'm refocusing on you, what you want for me, what you're saying, what you're doing, and I'm gonna be obedient in the things you talk to me about. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. How many of you surrender all? How many of you actually surrender all? Say, God, I'm laying it all down, Lord. You remember the white flag because you surrender? What are you saying? I've had enough. I've had enough of me, God. I need more of you, Lord. I surrender, Lord. Hallelujah. With this is nothing without you. I surrender, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to be to Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I surrender. Let's hear you. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. Ooh, I surrender. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Ooh, this feels good. How many sense the presence of God? Rise up, O Lord. Rise up, O Lord. Lord, hallelujah. We thank you for what you're doing in our world today, Lord. We thank you what you're doing in our lives today, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Can you say amen to that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. So good to sense the presence of God. So good to know that God is for us and not against us. How many say amen to that? God is always and continuing to speak into your lives if you'll let him. Can you say amen to that? God has things to say. Hallelujah. What we're seeing in the world today, how many of you know, can be, how many of you know that the United States of America is at war? Do you know that? Do you know that? War is one of those things that's always been around. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, it's not good, not pretty. But yet, because of the fact that people don't know Jesus, can I tell you there's wars and rumors of wars. Hallelujah. From whence cometh wars? From among you. Hallelujah. Because they come from your, from that man that hasn't been converted. Can you say amen to that? That man that is still the old man, where God is trying to renew the man within us. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. As I look at what's going on today, I sense God as I was working on my sermon last night. I sense God speaking things into my heart that He needs us to remember and to focus on, that the kingdom of God is always, always in control. The kingdom of God, says in Psalms 103, rules over all. Do you know that? It rules. Doesn't look like it sometimes, is that right? But it does. Can I tell you that there's nobody with a dirty nuke or a dirty bomb, whatever you want to call it, that can set it off unless God says you can set it off. I mean, you believe that. I believe that this world is headed to see the glorious, the greatest thing the world has ever seen. Amen. This is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in bodily form. Can you say amen to that? Because I believe that we are the kingdom of God in the earth right now. He's with us. He's within us. God with us. I'm an Emmanuelist. I believe that God has never left me nor forsaken me. Hallelujah. Even before I knew him, he knew me. Is that right? When God was talking about the kingdom of God, he told the Pharisees, can you imagine that? The Pharisees, the one that were going to kill him. He told them, the kingdom of God is in you. That was, you look it up. You need to go to your word and look it up. He was talking to the Pharisees, the ones that actually put him on the cross. Because every man is built, every one of us is built with the kingdom of God within us. Can you say amen to that? The whole world, the whole universe functions by the kingdom of God. It's a big deal. Can you say amen to that? It's a big deal what God is doing in the earth today to bring the redemption that Jesus bought. Can you say amen to that? Jesus paid for a redemption, not only of your soul, not only the souls of mankind, but the redemption of the earth. Put it back in line with where it's supposed to be. That's, you know, when Jesus said it is finished, that's what he did. Problem with a lot of us today, we just don't believe it. We don't understand it, so we don't believe it. We don't look at it because we don't want to understand it, maybe. But I'll tell you, the kingdom of God is right now on the earth. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about David and his army. How many know David had a bunch of guys that showed up to help him out when he was being chased by Saul? And this message, it kind of jumps around a little bit. When you look at 1 Chronicles chapter 12, it is actually talking about the mighty men of David. It moves around a little bit in a timeline so I'm going to try to help us out with a timeline this morning. Is that okay? If we try to put these in order, kind of, because it starts in one spot and ends up in another spot. How many know the Bible does that a lot? Do you know that? And sometimes things aren't in order. If you read Jesus and when he's talking in Matthew 24 at the end times when the temple will be destroyed and everything, those things are jumping around. They are not times and events that happen immediately after each other. Some happen now, some happen before. And so the timeline in the Bible, generally, it will move around. Are you okay with that? Are you okay with that? God knows the seasons and the times. Is that okay? Are you okay with that? Do you need to know the seasons and the times? Anybody? Yes, you do. Do you know how you're going to know the seasons and the times? You spend time with God. Because you're going to see a lot of things out there that don't line up, that you don't think, this isn't supposed to be happening. But yet, when you go in the presence of God and you feel the peace of God coming upon you, you're going to say, oh, we're in the right spot right now. God knows exactly what we're doing. Can you say amen? So let's talk about David and his men, okay? So I'm going to take you to, it's going to be 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And so I'm going to use the board up on top because it's messing with my Bible a lot. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that even right now, Father, with what we've heard and how we've felt this morning, we could go home right now and be fine, Lord. But I know that you have a message for us. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're speaking to your children, to those that call you by name. Father, give us what we need this morning. Thank you for it, Father. We praise you. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, now these are they that came to David to Ziklag. Ziklag is a place where David went. It was actually occupied by the Philistines. And David went there to run from Saul, because he knew Saul wouldn't go into the land of the Philistines because he'd need to take his army. There'd be a big battle. So he went to hide. And I just don't get sometimes, except for God, how David could go to the Philistines and hide. Isn't that weird? But that's God. God knows how to take care of his king. Remember, everything we talk about this morning, remember that David was an anointed young man to be king of Israel. Is that okay? Remember that, because you're going to see that he goes to Ziklag to hide from Saul, the king of Israel at the time. It's cool. He came to Ziklag, and while he yet kept himself close, in other words, he was hiding. He kept himself close because of Saul, the son of Kish, and they were among the mighty men, helpers of the war. They were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left hand in hurling stones. These guys are talented. I can throw a rock with both hands and hit what I want to hit. Can you say amen to that? How many try throwing? How many of you are right-handed? How many of you throw and you do pretty good? And your other hand, how many are really good with hitting things with your left hand? Man, there's some that are, but I can throw with my right hand. And when I try to throw with my left hand, I'll hit Rosie. And that ain't no good. Amen. Amen. I say, man, you know, she look at me and say, hey, throw with your right hand, boy. All right. So, but these guys were good, man. They were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left hand, hurling stones and shooting arrows out of that bow. Flip from this side to this side. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. These guys are talented warriors. Remember, these guys were warriors. Now they're coming to David. And it says, and they were left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of the bow, even Saul's brethren of Benjamin. These guys were related or were in the family of Saul's. And now they're coming to David because they can see that David is going to need help. Can I just tell you that that when God places a call on you, which every one of you have a call, believe it or not, when he places his name on you, that name comes with a purpose and a destination he wants to get you to. Are you okay with that? How many of you say yeah? Amen. And, you know, just like, I'm not sure who was saying it this morning, but it doesn't matter how old you are. The kingdom of God doesn't look at age. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, I don't care how, it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. If you will set your heart on God, God is going to take you places. Can you say amen to that? I mean, so David, God has a plan to make him king. David is not trying to get guys to come and join join him. All he's doing is hiding from Saul. He's got a few guys that have been around him, and now all of a sudden people are starting to come to him. And I will tell you that the provision of what God had for David of being a king, he's providing more people for that. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. We're looking at something that we haven't seen in the United States of America. And I'm not a political person. Can you say amen? I am of the kingdom of God. I look at the kingdom of God. I look at people. Can you say amen? I can't be standing out there, I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat. I can't be doing that. Can you say amen to that? God has never told me to do anything like that. And I won't do anything that God doesn't tell me to do. Can you say amen? But I will tell you, I have never seen in our country, the leader of our country do what he's doing today. In the way that he's doing it, I believe that God has been sending him people. Can you say amen to that? Because he can't do it on his own. How many of you know that? He ain't that smart. Okay. That's nice for me to say, huh? Wait a minute, Lord, because I know the Lord tells me that he wants me to pray for these guys. Do you know that you are responsible for your prayers for whoever's in the government? Do you know that? For whoever, whether you like them or not. Can you say amen to that? He doesn't tell you, it doesn't say it, and we're going to get to it a little later, but it doesn't tell you to pray for those that are in authority over you if you like them. It doesn't say that. And he says, if you don't like them, it's okay. Don't pray for them. It doesn't say that. It says to pray for them that are in authority over you. There's a reason why he tells us that. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Yeah, you know, folks, we as citizens of the kingdom of God, which you are, how many of you know that? You're a citizen of the kingdom.
Yes.
As a citizen of the kingdom, don't let what you're seeing on the earth trouble you. Can you say amen? Don't let it bother you. What you see, pray. That's it. Just pray. Because you're going to find that God will open things up to you. Here, David is, men are coming to him. And I'm wondering what he's thinking. I kind of think, hey, wonder what David's thinking here. All of a sudden, these guys are coming. You know, those guys got to eat. Is that right?
Right.
You know, they got to have a place to sleep. They got to have a place to stay. You know, David's going to be, wait a minute, where are all these guys coming from? God is sending them to him. Can you say amen? Come on, man. This is really cool. And we're going to jump to 1 Chronicles 12, 16 through 22. It says this. There came of the children of Benjamin and Judah to the hold unto David. And David went out to meet them and answered and said to them, if you become peaceably unto me to help me, I love this. My heart shall be knit unto you. Yeah. But if you come to betray me to my enemies, seeing there is no wrong in my hands, the God of our fathers look thereon and rebuke it. Can you say amen? I like that. I like David. He's very, very, if you come to help me out, cool, man. We'll be bros. But if you come to betray me to my enemies, I ain't doing nothing to you. I'm going to let him take care of it. Can you say amen to that? Amen. That's trusting the Lord. That is trusting the God of his fathers. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
The God of our fathers looked thereon and rebuke it. Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, who was the chief of the captains, and said, hey, thine we are yours, David, and on your side, thou son of Jesse, peace be to you, and peace be to your helpers, for your God helps you. Then David received them and made them captains of the band, and there fell some of Manasseh to David. Manasseh was one of the tribes that was on the other side of the Jordan River, and Manasseh, there was guys from Manasseh came to help David. And I love this, because here God is providing a small army for David. At this time, there was 400 to 600 men gathered with David. Is that cool? 400 to 600 guys. Yeah, man, that's good. I mean, hey, man, I don't think we're even 100 in here. How many is in here, John? Do you? close. We're at, maybe we're around 75. I don't know. But think about 600. That's pretty cool. That's a good bunch that David God has sent to David. Isn't that cool? God is helping David. So Saul and Jonathan, his son, they go to battle against the Philistines. And in that battle, they die. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verses 1, 2, and 3, here we are jumping back now. It says, "Then all Israel gathered themselves to David into Hebron. Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh." Notice that word says all. Then all Israel gathered themselves to David. They just lost a major battle and lost their king and his son. And now Israel is going after David. And they said, they gathered themselves together and they said, "We are your bone and your flesh. Moreover, in time past, even when Saul was king, you were he that led us out and brought us in Israel. And the Lord thy God said to thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be ruler over my people Israel. Therefore came all the elders of Israel to the king to Hebron. And David made a covenant with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel according to the word of the Lord by Samuel." This was quite a different time between when he was at Ziklag and then Saul got killed, and now he's in Hebron, and now all of Israel are coming to him to be king. Pretty cool times. What Samuel had prophesied over David about him being anointed king of Israel, that was now beginning to take place. It was actually beginning to take place while he was in Ziklag. He was gaining men, mighty men, the Bible calls mighty men. These guys were mighty men. You need to go through and read these stories and you find out what they did. These guys would kill like 300 guys. One guy. Isn't that cool? Yeah, what the heck? That's not cool, Henry. Yeah, well, it is. These were mighty men. These were not pushover men. These guys were the top notch Navy SEAL. I don't know what the type of men. These guys were top notch back then. Yeah. And man, they could throw rocks with both hands. Whew. Man, these guys were bad. Jeez, come on, man. Top notch, amen. Look at your neighbor, say top notch. Top notch. You go to 1 Chronicles 12, 16 through 22. Now check this out. I'm not going to go through all the people because I will tell you, there was a gathering of about 200,000 fighting men. 200,000. Read the story. You're going to see all the ones at 50,000, 125,000. You're going to see all these fighting men gathering around David. Isn't that cool? I will tell you, God's provision will follow you when you've got an anointing on you. And you all have the anointing on you because the Spirit of God dwells in you. Amen. And there's an anointing on you. And God's got things for you. Can you say amen to that? Let's read this. 12, 16 to 22 says this. "And there came of the children of Benjamin and Judah to hold unto David. And David went out to meet them. And he answered and said to them, if you come peaceably to me..." Is this what we read already? Yes. I'm sorry. 12, 23 through 38. Yeah, I get too excited. I don't know where I'm at. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verses 23 through 38. This is what it says right here. Coming up. "And these are the numbers of the bands that were ready armed to the war and came to David in Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul to him, according to the word of the Lord. The children of Judah that bear shield and spear were 6,800 ready armed to the war. Of the children of Simeon, mighty men of valor for the war, 7,100. Of the children of Levi, 4,600. And Jehoiada was the leader of the Aaronites. And with him, remember the Aaronites, they were the Levites, the ones that attended to the altar. Aaronites, and with him were 3,700. Zadok, a young man of mighty valor, and of his father's house, 22 captains. It just says he brought that 22 captains came. Doesn't say all the men came with him right then, but it says 22 captains. And of the children of Benjamin and of the kindred of Saul, 3,000. For hitherto the greatest part of them had kept the ward of the house of Saul. And of the children of Ephraim, 20,800, mighty men of valor, famous throughout the house of their fathers. And of half the tribe of Manasseh, 18,000, which were expressed by name, to come and make David the king. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times. I want you to look at this. This is one of the things that these were men that had understanding of the times of what was happening, to know what Israel should do, ought to do. The heads of them were 200. Only 200? Only 200? I mean, hey, when you got 200 men that understand the time, you only need 200 men. Can you say amen to that? They know what to do. Can you say amen to that? I believe when I was reading this, I believe that God was saying to me, I have supplied your leader, if you will, with people that have understanding of the times and know where they're at. Can you say amen? I'll tell you, there's a lot of Christians on that cabinet. Do you know that? There's a lot of Christians. They know the Lord. And they understand the times that we're in. And we need men like that. Can you say amen to that? We need men like that. Rabakisa ramotate. It's a provision of God. It's a provision of God. We should feel very, very grateful for what God is doing in the world today. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Pretty tough. Of Zebulun, as such was, went forth to battle, expert in war, with all the instruments of war, 50,000, which could keep rank. They were not of a double heart. Can you say amen to that? You know what's good to have? It's good to have people that are not of a double heart. This is what David was asking. Hey, are you for me or are you against me? If you're against me, let me know now. Because you sneak in here and betray me, I'm going to tell you what, God's coming after you. Because I am set to be king of Israel. Do you know that? See, these men were not double-minded. They had one mindset. They were coming for the nation of Israel. Verse 33. They were not of double heart. And of Naphtali, 1,000 captains with them, shield and spear, 30 and 7,000. And the Danites, expert in war, 20 and 8,600. If you go through the book, just add them up. You're going to find that, man, there was well over 200,000 that God sent to bring David into the king, to be the king of Israel. Again, this was all according to what Samuel said in the verse here. It says in Chronicles 11:3, it says this, it was all according. I'll put that up. Chronicles 11:3. It was that one, Miha, that I put, just doesn't have the whole scripture. It's got the ending on it. Yeah. Well, at the end, it says, according as Saul had spoken about David when he prophesied to him. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Now I just want to, this is what God was doing it back then. And see, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can you say amen? He always provides. He's always been a provider. And so I want you to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7:14. This is what the Bible says.
And you guys know this. Most of you know it by heart. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Can you say amen to that? Everybody look at your neighbor and say, healing's on the way. Healing is on the way. Let me just say this to you, because I believe that there are more Christians praying, going into their closet. Look, I'm okay. I love conventions and I love those kind of things. They're kind of cool and everything. But God's not looking for you to be in a convention. He's looking for you to be in the closet alone with him so he can speak to you one-on-one. Can you say amen to that? I mean, we had a time where we would run off to conventions and we'd run off to prayer meetings and all these other things. God is saying, hey, I'll have a prayer meeting right now with you in your closet, in your bedroom. Can you say amen? Because God wants you there. Before COVID hit, God was saying to this church, he kept saying, enter into your closet, shut the door. He kept telling this church that I want you in that closet. And then later on, we found out why. See, God is saying today, I want you in your closet. Now, your closet can be in your pickup truck. Can you say amen to that? It can be, your closet can be on your roof. Your closet can be in the restroom. Come on, man. But God wants you one-on-one with him, if you will. Can you say amen to that? And I believe that what we're seeing today is a result of Christians today praying. If my people, see, he's not asking the sinners to pray. They don't know how. They got nothing. Can you say amen to that? He doesn't hear the ungodly. How many say amen to that? I mean, he doesn't, if they would fall on their knees and begin to pray, oh, God will hear them. Can you say amen to that? But he's not expecting them to pray for the nation. He's expecting us. If my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Is that right? Then I will hear and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin. Amen. This was Old Testament. This was the Old Testament. Today, he's forgiven your sin. His son has died for you. And what he has done is provided you an entrance into his throne room by the blood of his son, his only son, his beloved son. And he wants you to come on in. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Is that what he tells us?
Yes.
That's what he says. Do it. Come and see me. Come and talk to me. Because I believe healing for our land is on the way. But folks, we can't stop now. We've got to keep praying. You got to continue to pray. Got to continue to go after the Lord. Those of you that are baptizing the Holy Ghost, pray in the Spirit all day long, continually. Continually praying. Can you say amen to that? Ooh, hallelujah. I felt that. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34 says this. Check this out. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. As I see what's going on today, even watching some stuff, man, that I don't like on the news, and I hearing things that I don't like on the news, I perceive in my spirit that God is changing things in this nation.
Amen.
He really is. And it could be just a snap. It could be just a snap before it goes the other way. Unless we continue to call out on God. Can you say amen to that? The minute we let up, oh, we don't want to do that.
No.
We want to keep pushing. Keep pushing. The Word of God says the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force.
Right.
The Word of God says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pray this way. Take the kingdom and bring it into the earth in your life. Can you say amen to that? Bring it in. I was taught as a Catholic. That was just a prayer that I would pray. I didn't realize what it was saying. Didn't realize what I was saying. All I know is I was trying to get out of being a bad boy with the priest, and he goes, okay, 10 Our Fathers and 5 Hail Marys. And I do that, and I didn't realize what I was saying. But see, that's okay. I didn't know him. But now I know him. I realize that he's saying, pray this way, my kingdom come, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How is it in heaven? Are there wars in heaven? Uh-uh. Is there sin in heaven? No way. Is there sickness in heaven? No. Is there death in heaven? No, none of that's in heaven. Hallelujah. And he says, bring it onto the earth. He's waiting for us. Can you say amen to that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody get up here, I can smack you. And I'm just kidding. Ah, man. Come on, man. Glory to God. Righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness. Being right with God, that's what exalts a nation. That's what he says in his word. And that's what we're after. Can you say amen? I will say that our nation somehow, some way, I mean, if you, it has elevated. Can you say amen to that? There has been an elevation in our nation.
Yeah.
And I think that's the, I believe, I know it's the hand of God. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. This is what we were talking about earlier. I exhort you, therefore, first of all. Everybody say amen?
Amen.
There's a few firsts in the kingdom of God. Is that right? Seek first the kingdom of God. And then it says here, first of all, this is it. Same thing, same thought of seeking first the kingdom of God. I exhort that first of all, supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. How many men?
All.
Not just the ones you like?
Nope.
Ah, gotcha, huh? Hey, man, come on, man. We're talking about, we are citizens of a kingdom. We are citizens, his spirit dwells in us, and this is the way he sees it. No other way. Stop saying things about other folks, whether you like them or not. Come on, man. Hey, I'm preaching to myself here. Come on, man. Stop that stuff. It says, I exhort thee, first of all, supplication, prayers, and be made for all men, for kings and for those and for all that are in authority. How many?
All.
All. I'll tell you, a few years ago, I was having a hard time praying.
Oh, yeah.
I really was. But I knew God said, you pray. You pray for this guy. You pray for this lady. You pray for them. Every time I look on and I'd see him, I go, oh, not them again. And the Lord said, yeah, pray for them. It was like the Lord was putting him in front of me so that I would be praying for them. Learning my lessons. Can you say amen to that? I learned my lessons. It's easy to pray for the guys you like. Can you say amen? He tells us to pray for the enemies. Come on, man. Because, folks, I'm going to tell you, prayer changes things. It really does. You need to be spending time. If you don't know what to do, I'm telling you right now, you know what to do. Is that right? What do? You pray. God, I have so many people, I don't know what to do. Yes, you do. Pray. Ask God. You belong to him. Ask him. He'll tell you. That we may lead a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. If you pray, pray for those who are in authority over you. Pray for people. Pray for all men. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
It's good and acceptable. Praise God. Prayer. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 13 through 21. Look at this scripture. It's a beautiful scripture. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way. Please, amen?
Amen.
The froward mouth do I hate. I like this. I like this scripture. I will tell you, man, you know what? This is something that... I don't know if I should say that. Yeah, but you know, let me just say this. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy. Can I tell you something? Our leaders, they need for us to pray.
Yeah.
They need us behind them in prayer.
Yes.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
That's cheap amen, but okay. I'm gonna call you out on your amens, man. Yeah. Because I will tell you, as we've seen in Scripture, anytime a leader begins to have success after success after success after success, pride can set in very easily. How many know that? And they can get haughty, and there can be a change in their demeanor. We need to pray that God would keep them humble. Can you say amen to that? Keep them humble, Lord. Yeah, they're having and experiencing some successes right now, Lord, but keep them humble. Keep them focused on you, Lord. Let them speak to their lives, Lord. Speak into their hearts, Lord. Keep them humble, Lord. For they look after us, is what the Scripture tells us. They look after us. They should be. Can you say amen to that?
Yes. Mm.
And he says, so for the fear of the Lord is a hate evil, pride and arrogancy in the evil way, and the froward mouth. So, hey, keep your mouth in control, okay? All right, we'll leave that alone. Do the froward mouth, I do hate, is what God says. He says, counsel is mine, belongs to him. Sound wisdom belongs to him. I am understanding and I have strength. By me, kings reign. Look at that. It's by him, the kings reign. Princes decree justice. If they know God, if our leaders have any sense of God, any sense of right and wrong, by me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall what? What's he talking about right there? Prayer. He's talking about prayer. One more scripture. Riches and honor are with me. Can you say, everybody say, with him. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, riches and honor with him. Yeah, durable riches and righteousness. Come on. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold. My revenue than choice silver. And I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me, listen to this, to inherit what? Substance. And what does it say? I will fill their treasures. You see, God's got big plans for you. Big plans for you. Big plans for you. But you got to go after righteousness. You got to go the right way. Can you say amen? There's a right way and a wrong way. Go the right way. Amen? Preach it. If you remember anything, say, I got to go the right way. If you remember anything today, I got to go the right way. I can't be too haughty about myself. I got to humble myself. Can you say amen to that?
Yes.
You know, sometimes we're good at things. Is that right? Sometimes we got talents. I try to tell this to my grandson a lot. I said, mijo, stay humble. Well, they're telling me that, you know, that I'm no good and everything. I say, hey, stay humble. Say something to them like, well, you're good, aren't you? Tell those guys, stay humble, bro. Don't get too haughty. Don't think too much about yourself, mijo. Can you say amen to that? Mija, don't think too much about yourself. Don't think you're so high and mighty. Don't do that. God resists that kind of stuff. Can you say amen to that? And he knows how to humble you. I said, Lord, humble me. Oh, come on. Not like that, God. Come on, man. Hallelujah. He will. He'll humble us. Come on. Praise God. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Can you say amen to that? Daniel has something to say to us about this. Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. Remember, Daniel was going to be killed. And they were asking for an answer. The king was asking for an answer. And God gave Daniel the answer to keep them out of being killed. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his. And he changes times and the seasons. See, I like this word. He changes the times and the seasons. Can I tell you that the times and the seasons with God change? Is that okay? He changes them. And I believe he shifts gears. If we were still in the same, let's just say that back in the 1800s, we were in first gear. Well, now God has changed so many times. He wants us to be in 12th gear, and we're still running in first gear. See, he changes the times and the seasons. Things are different today. God is calling on the kingdom of God, the children of God, to be who they are in Christ. The Bible says the saints, the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Possessing the kingdom is you looking at things the way the kingdom looks at things, and you quit talking about you. That happened. You quit a long time ago talking about people. You quit a long time ago putting the finger on people. You quit a long time ago of blaming somebody. Can you say amen to that? You quit a long time ago of being unforgiving. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You quit a long time ago because you are in the kingdom, and the kingdom operates in love.
Yeah.
Woo, isn't that right, Pastor John? It operates in love. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm hoping the Holy Spirit's getting all over somebody in here. Because, man, I'll tell you what, God has had enough of unforgiveness in the kingdom. There ain't no unforgiveness in this kingdom. God has had enough of bad talking. God has had enough of criticism and blaming people for doing things. Stop. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, man. Hallelujah. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. He changes the times and the seasons." We're in a new season. We're in a totally different season today. He removes kings and sets up kings. Can you say amen to that? That's what He does. He takes one down, puts up another. When we're done with this one, which won't be too long from now, He's going to put up another one. Amen? He's the one that does it. We might think that we're our voting thing. Well, we got 12 electoral votes here. Shut up. God is in charge of that. Do you realize that? And sometimes God will put in a leader. You're going to see it in the Old Testament. You'll see God puts in a king that is totally opposite of what you know a king should be. I know a king should. That king is acting totally the opposite. And yet, I'll tell you who put him there. God put him there. Because it will affect the people. Do you know the leader affects the people? The leader affects the people. Do you know that? Hallelujah. You get a bad guy in there, guess what's going to happen? Not very good. Get a good guy in there, you'll see it all through Scripture. Hallelujah. We need men and women that know God in government. Yeah, that's right. Not in politics. Listen, not in politics. We need them in government.
Yes.
Two very different things. We need them to exercise the kingdom of God, the government of the kingdom, in their government. Can you say amen to that? That's what's going to change. That is what will bring results. Hallelujah. Because now they've got something big behind them. Amen? What's His name? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, man. Can you say amen to that? Woo, hallelujah. Hey, just think about it a little bit, all right? Spend some time thinking about these things. Amen? He changes the times and seasons. He removes things, sets up things. Removes kings, sets up kings, gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding, right?
Yes.
Then I like this. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with Him. Can you say amen?
Yes.
Do you see, when you're spending time with God, God's going to reveal to you things. He's not going to try to get you to start your own church. Well, He might. But he's going to reveal things to you. Just like when I'm going after the word for your sermon, for this, what God would have me to say to you this morning, He began to reveal things to me. What He's revealing to me is His heart. He wants me to know his heart and see his heart and be able to, though I might not do it well, to speak what his heart is saying to his people. And God help me to speak what he's saying, because sometimes I can sense it, but I don't know how to say it. Hallelujah. But he wants to reveal those secret things to you. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 19, verse 41 through 42. There was Pharisees, man, all over Jerusalem when Jesus came. And Jesus is looking at the city of Jerusalem. And he begins to weep, because these men are missing the time that they should not be missing. He says this, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, the least, at least in this day, the things which belong to your peace, but now they're hid from your eyes. Isn't that something? I believe the reason they didn't catch it was because they weren't in contact with God. They weren't praying personally. There were some. How many know Nicodemus? The brother, I can't remember his name, Joseph of Arimathea, the one that gave his tomb. These men, I believe, they were seeking God, and God opened things up to them. Can you say amen? They were able to see beyond of what they could see with their natural eyes. Is that okay? Is that right? Cornelius, remember Cornelius? A man of prayer who prayed all the time. And the angel said, hey, send for Peter. Cornelius was able to see before. You remember Ananias? The chicken? No, I'm just kidding. He said, hey, he was praying, and God told him, go to the house and find Saul and pray for him. This is the guy that's been killing Christians. Lord, are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you. In prayer, he was able to see something that his eyes couldn't see, because he heard what God was saying, because he was in prayer. Brothers and sisters, be in prayer, because that's where the Lord speaks. I got one scripture that, man, when I read it, I was telling the group this morning, I was getting ready to share. I go, no, I better hold on to it. Because when I read it, I saw something that just really just, if you will, just lighted me up. Can you say amen to that? It lit me up. You know, I'm going to, hey, is Rebecca here? No. So, you know, I'm going to tell you something, guys. When she was a teenager, she came in the living room and she brought out a Bible. And I had been telling the Lord, I'm not letting her out of my house until I know that you dwell in her, that she knows you. And she came into my living room with her Bible in her hand, and she began to read a few things. And before I knew it, she was all over me. Whew, I felt the Holy Spirit. She preached to me. So, too bad she didn't give an altar call. Just kidding. She preached to me. And when she was done, she went back, and I'm crying by the time she left. And the Lord said, is that evidence enough? Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And sometimes people don't realize what God does and the gifts that he gives. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. My daughter to me is a great gift. My son to me is a great gift. How many of you have loved ones that are great gifts to you because of what God is going to do and is doing with them? Can you say amen to that? Let me share this little scripture that I got so fired up about. And it's in, what, where is it at? It's in Luke chapter 3. Verses 1 and 2. Luke 3, verses 1 and 2. You're going to love this. And it says, now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonite. Trachonitis. Sounds like some kind of a throat disease. Anyway, that's what I was having, I think. Anyway, and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest, the word of the Lord, the word of God came to the John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And isn't that wonderful? I would tell you, when I saw this, God is like, it's like God is putting all the leaders, just to go back, yeah, go back to verse 1. 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, the Roman emperor, Pontius Pilate being the governor of Judea, Herod being the tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and the region of sore throat. Next verse, Trachonitis, and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest. Here is the leadership of the world right now. Boom, laid out. And the part I love is, and the word of the Lord came to this locust, this bug-eating man in the desert. Woo, I got blessed with that, man. John the Baptist, eating locusts and wild honey. God totally bypassed and came to the man that was praying, that was seeking God. When I was looking at this, I go, oh yeah, God, hallelujah. Without him, we can do absolutely nothing. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Hold on to it. Can you stand? Can you stand? Hallelujah. The word of God says this. It says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And some of us have a hard time praying, but I will tell you, if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you have the ability to pray without ceasing, because you will connect with God. God will pray through you, and you will be a without ceasing prayer person. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Who knows what God will do through you, because generally those things are secret. Sometimes he will reveal them to you. But I will tell you today, that what God is looking for from his children is a commitment to him, that you surrender it all. Can you say amen? You surrender it all and you allow him to have your life. You allow him to lead you and guide you into everything he has for you, and you watch what happens. He will always, he will always lead you and guide you if you want. And I tell you right now, I want him to lead us and guide us. So I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to ask the Lord just to touch you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you for your people. I thank you for every one of them, Father God. I thank you, Lord. For those that are listening and those that aren't listening, I thank you for them, Lord. Lord, I ask you, Lord, that you'd watch over them. You'd take care of them. Father God, you'd lead them by your Spirit. You give them wisdom and understanding in what you're doing in their lives, Father God. You, God, that you'd give them dreams and visions. The old men will see visions and the young men will dream dreams. And upon all your servants, God, you are going to pour out your Spirit. If not, if it's not even happening now, it's happening. You pour out your Spirit upon all flesh. All flesh. Hallelujah. And they will prophesy. They will speak. They will speak your desires. They will speak what you have for the world that's around them in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it, God. I thank you for the authority that you've given us in Christ's name to take authority over our cities, over our country. We have authority through Christ. Yeah. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it, God. We give you all the praise and the glory and the honor, Lord, because it belongs to you. None else but you, Lord. We thank you this morning for your word, God. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
And give them a clap offering, if you will. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Glory to God.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.